Greetings, programs and users. It is time once again for another episode of Old Nerds Drinking. I am John Patrick, the Master Control Program, live in the Nerd Cave. Here with me is...
It's me, Rojan. I am back. And I would... Is the show that was live at Penguin Con going to air before this one?
Yeah, it's already in the feeds. It's okay. Already out there.
Yeah, I couldn't make it to that one, and I'm really sorry, because I had so much crap going on that it was just not feasible. So if it matters to anybody, I'd like to apologize to everybody for not being a part of that live show.
Well, so. You'll have to come next year. And truly, I think we're getting enough cred that not this year, next year, I'm going to apply again for a press pass for Motor City Comic Con.
Nice.
Yeah. But we are old nerds, and we are drinking.
We are drinking. We have both brought something to the table tonight, literally.
You want to go?
Let's do yours first.
Okay.
Let's do yours first.
So
this one I have an idea of how it's going to be, and I'm not worried about it.
So I was actually planning to save the Sunny D hard seltzer, but we drank that at the Penguin live show. So I was thinking, well, I won't have something to drink today. But then I went to Meijer's before the show.
But I told you I was bringing stuff.
Yeah, but I wanted to bring stuff.
Okay, and no, it matters if you bring the stuff.
And I found Twisted Tea Sweet Tea Whiskey, crafted with real whiskey, made with whiskey, natural flavors, and real blued tea. Take everything you know about whiskey and toss it out the window. Made with real brewed tea, we took the same great taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea and reimagined it as a smooth, flavored spirit with hints of lemon. Enjoy it straight up as a shot or add it to your favorite mixer. We don't judge.
Totally not a bitch drink.
Product of Twisted Tea Distilling, Distilling Frankfort, Kentucky. Yeah, this might be the new white trash cocktail of summer.
So do you want to do the pouring out to this drink or to the second drink?
Well, let's talk about what we're drinking, and then we'll pour one out.
Okay.
We've talked multiple times on this podcast about Burdett's iced tea vodka. This is iced tea whiskey, so, I mean, this could be it. This could be the new white trash cocktail of summer.
Have you tried this before yet?
I have not.
Oh, so this is a first time for both of us,
then. This
is a
first
time
for both. Okay,
we're going to go on this journey together.
Yeah, we're going to go on this journey together.
Well, I'm here to hold your hand for this.
Yeah.
So, you know.
What did you bring to the table?
I brought a bottle of Outlaw Distillery out of Utah. My friends out in Utah sent me this, and it's basically, from what if it's made from honey, water, and yeast, therefore it's mead. So I think it is distilled mead for the most part. It's called Outlaw Distillery, clearly naked, crafted by hand, 43% alcohol by volume, Utah's own. And that's really all I know about it. I've never tried anything about it yet. It appears to be a small batch kind of thing. This is batch number 8.
The shit was that?
It's my phone. Batch 8, bottle number 12.
Ooh.
So this is early in that process here. Oh, you need some. That's right.
Yeah, I was going to say, you haven't poured me a shot of it.
Yep, okay. So we'll do that. And there, you're going to get just as much as I am. And... which is about a shot. Here you go.
Shot, 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 shot.
No.
Everybody!
There is a term that me and my buddies use when we get so incredibly ripped that we can only say three words. Those are just what, yeah, and okay. So we become Little John.
Little John.
Yeah. So which one do you want to drink first?
So I feel in honor of... so we got to pour two out. So for our first remembrance, we got to go with the sweet tea, because if we're going to pour one out for the king of white trash, we have to use the sweet tea vodka.
Yep, I'm good with that.
So
whiskey, not vodka.
Yeah, or
sweet tea whiskey.
It was just announced yesterday. We lost Jerry Springer.
Pancreatic cancer.
Oh God, that's the worst. That's what took Alex Trebek from us.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. If you were growing up and you were born about the same time as us, a day home meant you got to spend the day with Bob Barker in the morning and then Jerry Springer in the afternoon, just watching.
Who was a former mayor of the city of Cincinnati.
Former mayor of the mayor.
Got taken out in a scandal of paying for prostitutes with checks.
Well, yeah, you never want to pay for the prostitutes with checks. That's a cash-only business, folks.
I don't think they had Venmo back then.
But yeah, so... but he, for hours of entertainment and just watching the absolute worst of humanity and just being able to think about, at least we're not that bad. We're pouring one out for Jerry.
Chink. All right, here goes. Mmm.
Little potent,
but very smooth.
Very smooth.
There is a strange kind of aftertaste in there. It kind of tastes like, I don't want to use the term plasticky, but do you taste it?
Yeah, a little bit of like that traditional rubbing alcohol yeah, taste.
Yeah, that's a good way to put the rubbing alcohol taste. It doesn't, I would bet that the spirits that they actually used probably weren't the best of spirits.
Well, and it just says whiskey, so it could be grain whiskey. I definitely think this would benefit from being cut with a little bit of water. Because even the Burdette sweet tea vodka, you didn't want to drink it straight. You wanted to drink it watered down with ice. But, I mean, you could still
drink... Or just maybe the whiskey needs to be a little bit more filtered, maybe.
I definitely would think...
It's not bad.
Yeah. It's not as good as our previous white trash cocktail of summer, which was the Natty Ice Pink Lemonade Vodka.
No, I do believe the pink... I would definitely go for that over this. I would drink this if offered to me, but I would prefer the Natty Daddy...
Natty Daddy.
Which is strange saying that. So, you know, it's one of those things, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Try this and cut it with ice a little bit.
Okay.
Or cut it with a little bit of water.
I love how your cup says probably whiskey. Nah, I think I like it pure strength a little bit better. But I'm wondering, like, what would be a good mixer with, like, would this work in a Long Island iced tea, even though a Long Island iced tea doesn't actually have whiskey in it?
So, I think a good mixer for this would be maybe, like, a little bit of sour mix, something a little more lemony.
Yeah, that would do it.
Or, like, just do a dirty Arnold Palmer. Just do this with, like, a little bit of the Country Time lemonade.
Yeah. That would work. That would be good.
I maybe wouldn't go half and half, but just a little bit of that, especially that the tartness of the lemon and the lemonade, I think would go a long way with
this. I think that'd be real good with it. Because just to water it down, it removes from the actual flavor of the tea itself. Mm-hmm.
Or there's always the option of just mixing it with iced tea.
Yeah, but I don't know if that would do it. I think the dirty Arnold Palmer would be a lot better.
But now the next person we have to pour one out for earlier this week we said goodbye to Harry Belafonte. 92 years old. He had a good long run.
He did.
Most people my age will know Harry Belafonte from the Banana Boat song in Beetlejuice and Shake Sonora at the end. But he was a very prolific singer and actor. I actually remember him from The Muppet Show. And the episode where he hosted The Muppet Show is honestly one of my favorite episodes.
Every episode of The Muppet Show was one of your favorite episodes.
This one stands out. And it stands out particularly for one of the numbers he did to close out the show. But before we talk about that, what are we drinking for Mr. Belafonte?
This is the Outlaw Distillery stuff that I talked about earlier. Got it. Honey, I'm not sure what you would call it.
A little stronger. So we don't have some rum to work all night for a drink of rum. But Harry Belafonte, this one's for you.
Yep. Clink. All right, let's see what this stuff tastes like.
Ooh. That is potent.
It's potent, but smooth.
It is.
I mean, doesn't burn that bad. It's actually, it's not as sweet as I expected it to be.
That I can say, too. I expected it to be a little sweeter, but it is distilled, so you're going to lose some of that.
It doesn't have the bite that vodka does, but it is very vodka-esque.
Yeah, it's It's interesting. It doesn't taste like vodka. It tastes like something else, but you can definitely tell it's got some alcohol.
It's got some thickness to it too. Like the liquid is actually very thick. So it's almost I dare say a little bit syrupy.
In the episode of The Muppet Show where Harry Belafonte hosts, at the end of the show, he does a song that is a retelling of an African folk tale about the creation of the world. And it's a very heartfelt song, and they made special Muppets for it. And when he performed it on the episode, that was the first time he had ever performed it. And Jim Henson loved that song. And when Jim Henson passed, that was one of the two songs they performed at Jim Henson's funeral. They performed The Rainbow Connection, and then Harry Belafonte performed this song that was called Turn the World Around. So when I close out the episode tonight, I'm going to play that song for him because it's a really great song with a really great message, and it resonated with me as a kid, and it still does kind of, and it's about where we come from, where we're going, and who we are, and trying to know other people who they are. So I just think it's rather poetic, and I hope that definitely it's something that they're playing at his funeral, but it's something I want to play for him at the end. And I don't really care if I get a strike for a copyright strike on it.
Probably not.
Yeah. For like all the dozens of our listeners.
Dozens might be a little high, but
No. I can comfortably say
we literally have dozens of listeners. Don't you know who we are?
We average.
At this point, you probably have more listeners to your show than mine.
We average on a good episode of first time listens about 20 to 25. So literally dozens.
So yeah, there are 25 people in the world that find what we have to say.
Last time I looked, for the last episode there were 2 downloads in the UK. So we're international superstars, man.
You know what? Even with my show, I used to do that too. I used to really get off on looking where the downloads were coming from and being like, why is somebody in Istanbul? Why do I have 50 downloads from Istanbul, you know?
And then you remember that VPN blockers are a thing.
Yeah. Why would somebody want to block where you're downloading your show from, though?
Well, considering your show kind of goes to the conspiracy crowd.
No, not at all. Not at all. I am not a conspiracy guy. Not a bit. People would not find safe shelter at my place. But anyways.
I was going to say, the cryptozoology crowd and the conspiracy crowd,
they do run in the same circles.
That Venn diagram is a stack of pancakes, sir.
The Venn diagram does overlap there, which is probably why I don't quite fit into that world quite normally as most other people do.
But so, there is some really interesting stuff we got to talk about this week.
Well, let's do this real quick before we'll make this really fast. I'm going to give you a choice of 3 things. The industry that I'm in, I often frequently go to a lot of different shows with a lot of different products and things. I picked up at the last show that I was at on the other side of the state, they have these interesting chips that are there. And I brought 3 bags of them, and we're going to eat them throughout the course of this episode and just talk about, you know, what your thoughts are on them. So I'm going to give you a choice right now of the first bag we're going to bust into, which is going to be chicken and waffles, buffalo style, or salt and vinegar.
You know what? Let's be adventurous. Chicken and waffles, man.
Okay, chicken and waffles. Actually, in this scenario, that is a very good choice. There is a reason why. These are chips. I'm going to let you know that when you bite into them, they do not have the same kind of texture that you would expect from a potato chip. So, take one.
Are these like pork rind chips?
No, they're something completely different that I've never quite tried anything like before. They are made from chicken breast. There is no potatoes in these whatsoever. I know, that's the raised eyebrows. It's a curiosity thing.
Yeah.
Last time we were having bad movie night in my backyard a couple of weeks ago, we were watching Italian Spider-Man and Mad Heidi, which, by the way, Mad Heidi is phenomenal. If you have a chance to go out and find it, watch it. And as well, Italian Spider-Man, that was my 3rd rewatch of it. Also a fantastic movie. Available for free on YouTube. It's about 45 minutes long. Do find Italian Spider-Man. You will not be let down. Okay. Go ahead and take a bite. I want to see what you think.
Overpoweringly maple syrup.
Yes, it is. But these chips are literally made from chicken breast. And they are in a potato chip form. They are not quite like anything I've ever had before. It's a little bit difficult to wrap your head around. But anyways, continue on and we'll try another chip here in a few minutes.
I wanted to touch on this, that I had recently been suffering some computer bullshittery.
I am there as well.
Yeah. We recorded an episode about a month ago, and it was a really good episode, talking about a lot of cool stuff and tasting like some really cool booze. And
that was the Swill episode, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was the Swill.
Yeah.
What was it? Grape flavor.
Bootleggers. I brought these bottles, same show where I got these. They had these bottles of alcohol there. They were like little, I don't know, half pints is what they were.
Yeah, and those are half pints.
They were extremely cheap, like gas station liquor store bottles of liquor. I think they were called Bootlegger or something like that. And we knew these were not going to taste good. And we drank each of them. There was four different flavors. They were bad. They were bad. And it sucks that we lost that episode.
It's not so much that they were bad. It's that they weren't good.
They would have been good mixed with like Sprite or something.
Yeah, it was definitely the spiritual successor of the flavored Pucker.
Yes, and they were $1.95 a bottle. So that tells you right there.
Yeah, that's your quality point right there.
Yeah.
So we talked about that. We talked about people who had abandoned successful jobs to pursue art and things like that. And right as we were wrapping up the episode, my computer restarted, and just randomly in the just shut down, restarted, and I was like, "Oh shit!" So then I booted up Audacity, hoping I would save it, and it saved it. So, but before I got a chance to, we were going to record the outro. So I'm killing all the processes that start when I start up my computer, and I accidentally killed Audacity again, and then just, it's gone. I spent that whole night trying to recover it, couldn't recover it. So that was a great loss. And this is where you get to say, I told you so, for not having a backup record of the episode.
No, I'm not going
to
do that. I'm not that guy. Good. Mean, this stuff happens when you're a podcaster. It just happens. You know, it's happened to me several times.
Yeah, so we will, probably before the next episode, I'm going to re-conjigger how I have the record set up so we can incorporate a backup record so that never happens again. But then, a couple of days later, I was trying to log back into my computer and found out that my Windows login had been corrupted. And when you are the only login on your computer and you don't have a second administrator set up, that really fucks up your computer, and ended up having to reinstall Windows. So, but the good thing is, after I completely reinstalled Windows, the way I run my computer, I have secondary hard drives and externals. Those house the important stuff. So all that was saved. No, the porn's on thumb drives, in case you gotta, if like the cops are raiding and you gotta swallow it to destroy it, you want it on a thumb drive.
Oh my God, I would pay money to watch you swallow a thumb drive. It doesn't have to have porn on it, I would just, you know.
Well, I was good.
But there would be a bonus if it had goat porn on it.
Yeah, it's either that or just a little bit of thermite destroys it forever.
Who has thermite? Never mind. You might actually have thermite laying around.
The cyberpunk in me says the cops don't get shit.
Oh, God. We now have... This is going to paint a target on both of our houses. We're going to get raided next week. They're going to send the Pinkertons after us. You know where I'm going with this.
Segway? So, yeah. There's been some news in the nerd community. To be fair... I am a recovering Magic the Gathering addict. I played from beta.
I am as well. 25 years clean.
Yeah, it's a little less than that.
I left after Icelands.
That was about where I left, too. I left beta to 5th edition, so that was right after Icelands. I think Homelands was the last expansion that came out.
Yeah, that's where I quit, too, was Homelands.
No, I take it back. Mirage was the one, because it was... So, they had reached a point where they were doing a basic set every year. They were doing an expansion set every year. They were doing a base expansion set. And then they were doing a expansion set for that set.
So we're going to make an expansion for your expansion. Yo, dog, we heard you like expansion sets. So we decided to make you an expansion set so you can play an expansion set while you're playing your expansion set.
Yeah, so it was, you had 5th edition, which was a base set. So it had all the lands, all that. It was its own standalone thing. Then they had Mirage, which was a expansion, but also an expansion big enough to be its own basic set with its own starter decks. Then there was an expansion set that year, and then Mirage had its own expansion set. And that was the point where I was like, fuck you. The releases are coming so fast, I can't keep up with them. By the time you got your deck dialed in, a new expansion's out, and it...
Made it tournament illegal unless you're playing a Type 2 tournament or something like that, yeah. Which I never played tournaments anyways, but still.
And they were adding new abilities with every expansion, so it just got so cumbersome, and I was just done with it. But apparently Magic is still alive, well, and doing its thing.
Yep.
And I started seeing memes, and they were talking about, like, armed people breaking into Magic users' houses.
Well, I sent you a TikTok video about this, but I only watched it the one time, and I said, I've got to send this over to the podcast bros chat that we're in with other podcasters.
Right.
And I'm like, look at this. Just look at this. And I said, you know, you take it from here. So you did. And that's how we're at a point we're at now.
Yeah. And specifically, it was something about a leak. And it was comparing the fact that when Games Workshop had a leak of a new model, they played it off as a joke and then just released the images of the model. But when there was a leak of something to do with Magic the Gathering, and Wizards of the Coast sent armed police officers to somebody's house.
Well, from what I understand...
Well, hold on. So,
okay.
So that was what I found, or that was what I heard, and then I had to go find the story.
Okay.
So, there is the most recent release in Magic the Gathering is an expansion called, Rise of the Machine. It's the new expansion set. And there's a forthcoming companion expansion set to that called Rise of the Machine Aftermath. And a YouTuber who reviews Magic the Gathering stuff somehow got a copy of the forthcoming set.
They sent it to him.
Well, no.
By mistake.
No. It was supposedly they had sent it to the place where he bought it from mistake.
Okay.
And he bought it from his dealer. Yeah. If you want to know why call it card crack. Yeah. If you want to know why they call it card crack, it's because we get it from a dealer. And so, yeah, the dealer had somehow, if it was shipped to him by mistake, he didn't understand that it was something that shouldn't be released. He sold it to this YouTuber. The YouTuber got it, realized what it was, and then posted videos of him unboxing it and showing what the cards are. So, Magic the Gathering...
Wizards of the Coast.
Which is owned by Wizards of the Coast, which is a subsidiary of Hasbro, hired the Pinkerton Detective Agency. Yeah, that Pinkerton Detective Agency, the one that I only know exists pretty much exclusively from playing Deadlands and Red Dead Redemption. And they sent armed detectives to this man's house, apparently made implied threats that he could be arrested, that they could call the sheriff's office. He could face imprisonment. He could face fines up to $200,000 if this YouTuber did not hand over not just what he had bought, but every Magic card he had. So, like, his entire collection, so they could make sure that they had gotten everything. And then the gentleman complied because, you know, when armed thugs come to your door.
With that, guns, yeah.
That was what armed implies.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I get it.
But when armed thugs come to your door, you're kind of motivated to comply. He said he reached out to Wizards of the Coast and explained what was going on. And Wizards of the Coast offered not to return what they had taken from him, but to compensate him in product. Like, literally, yeah, we realized this was kind of a dick move. We'll send you a couple of booster packs as an I'm sorry.
But they didn't give him his original cards back?
No.
Why did they not give him his original product back, his original cards?
Because that's still evidence, using the air quotes, in their investigation. All of this was part umbrellaed under Wizards of the Coast had Pinkertons engaged in an investigation to find missing product that was released ahead of time. So yeah, like we've all heard stories of companies doing dickish things to protect their IPs and sending threatening letters. But this is, honest to God, I believe, the first case of them sending armed thugs to someone's house to intimidate and take their things. I heard mentioned in one of the articles that the reason the Pinkertons came armed was there was a suspicion that the person in question may have had guns. They had no proof, but this is insane. This is just fucking insane. Wizards of the Coast, if you are listening, first of all, thank you for D&D. Thank you for saving it. However, eat a gigantic bag of fucking dicks. Like, fuck you, fuck your practices, fuck your company, fuck Magic the Gathering, fuck the Pinkertons, and just everything about this, fuck you. You could have handled this so many other ways. Mentioning Game Workshop, there have been high-profile events where their shipping center has accidentally shipped out product that was not yet scheduled to be released. Like, I ordered this model that is an old model, and there is a new version of that model coming out, and somebody at the warehouse accidentally shipped the new version of the model. So before they were ready to release it, some guy got it and was like, hey, look what I got. And Games Workshop, who is a company that is known for dick moves, was just kind of like, well, I guess it's out there. And then early released images of the early released all the information about the model because it was out there. And they realized that they made a mistake. They're not going to punish this guy for it. They're just going to kind of go forward. And again, that was not a dick way to handle things. But this is the worst of just corporations, IP holders, just fucking people who are ostensibly their customers.
Did this happen before the Dungeons and Dragons movie came out or after?
Like, after. This all happened, I think, within the last couple of weeks.
So can you imagine had this happened? Because they were already in a bunch of hot water with what was going on with the D&D situation. And then if this would have happened, you know, can you imagine the backlash from it?
Yeah.
I mean, now the movie's already been out, which I didn't think it was great, but I didn't think it was bad. I was going to ask you what you thought about it anyways. Yeah, there were better ways to go about this. You know,
this is something that could have been fixed with a phone call or an email of just, hey, we understand. And I mean, this person was willing to, he took down the videos he had made releasing it. So he was willing to comply. There were so many easier ways they could have done something and not been scumbags about this.
Yeah.
But they went full scumbag.
Which flavor would you like to try next? Buffalo chicken or salt and vinegar?
Give me salt and vinegar.
Okay. Yeah, I was, when I saw that, I was just like, is this a joke? Is this for real? Like, the idea of armed people busting down your door to get Magic the Gathering cards, it just sounds a little insane.
There is no reason to send armed agents to intimidate somebody over a product, over a game release.
Yeah. That and the fact that the guy bought it from his dealer. He bought it from his gaming store, right. Where the heck he bought it from. It wasn't like he went out and bought these illegally or whatever. So the fault would fall
on... It was not he broke into a distribution center, got this through nefarious means, and released it on the internet as a personal fuck you to Wizards of the Coast.
Mm-hmm.
It was, hey, I got this cool thing. I'm going to show off this cool thing. And of course, Wizards of the Coast has no comment, admits no wrongdoing, and just exists because they know, people will buy our shit. We don't care.
Now, I'm not as up on this stuff as you are. Have you seen any reaction from the community at all? Are people going, I mean, outside of the memes and stuff, are people going into chat rooms or, you know, saying, hey, you know, these people are terrible? Or...
I don't know. I am very far removed from the Magic community. It's just, when you are a drug addict and you stop your drug habit, they recommend you go through a process they call breaking up with your dealer. And so
I sold all my cards and I got nowhere near the amount of money they're worth or what I put in.
See, this is a thing. Like I go to game stores and I will see cards that I knew I had dozens of in the display cabinets with multi-$100 price tags and think, you know, I sold my entire Magic the Gathering collection for, I think, $500 worth of store credit to the Pack Shack. And
that place was good for that.
Yeah.
That place was good for, yeah, we know it's not worth it, but, you know, take it or leave it, you know?
Yeah, with anything, it's mm-hmm. you, I mean, like...
Something is only as valuable as what people are willing to pay.
Exactly. When I have friends who want to sell something, I tell them, are you selling this because you want to get rid of this? Or are you selling this because you want to get the money you have into it? If you want to get rid of it, the value of it is the first thing somebody tells you they will pay you for it. Take it, get rid of it. If you want to get the money out of it, you may get that money, but is how much of your life are you willing to dedicate to selling that and getting that price? Because you may have to list it on like eBay with a buy it now price and like every 30 days have to redo that auction.
Yeah.
Or taking it to various shows and setting up booths at the shows to find a buyer there who will sell it or who will buy it. And you're adding the cost of selling it to the money you're going to make from it. I'm a little understanding, but I realized that if I still had my Magic collection and I was willing to put the time to sell it, this is the long way of saying that collection could have put one of my kids through college.
Yeah, I sold mine when my first child was born. So it's been quite a while. And I remember the same thing. I was like, I would go out and buy boxes of cards and stuff like that and starter decks.
At the peak of my Magic the Gathering habit... I was working at McDonald's full-time in the summer, part-time during the school year. I would get paid weekly, and every week I would take my paycheck. I would go to one of the card shops locally, and I would buy a booster box or a starter box of Magic the Gathering cards. And that was, at the time, $60 to $80, 1990s dollars. So God only knows what that translates to now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was my weekly habit.
Yeah, that was me when I first got married, you know, and my wife let me do it, bless her soul. And then one day I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore, you know? Yeah. I started getting back into my synthesizers and stuff like that. So I was like, no, I don't want to do this. Plus I had a kid and I didn't have the time to play because I had a baby and... Yeah, and I don't ever look back. I've never looked back and said, wow, I really wish I didn't get out of Magic. There are games where I've said, I really wish I didn't get out of that game, or I wish I'd have kept my stuff. But Magic is the one game where I've said to myself, I think for a while I still had my Millstone deck. I kept that. And I may still have it somewhere, but a lot of the really good cards that went in are gone.
It just, it stopped being fun.
Yeah.
It became, like, you, it stopped even being where you could play with your friends and be fun.
Yeah.
It became so toxically competitive.
Yeah.
And it was, there were the Bleeding Edge meta decks, and if you weren't playing the Bleeding Edge meta decks, there was no chance, or, like, there wasn't even a bother showing up to a tournament. There were the blue permission decks where...
I had one of those.
Oh, yeah.
People hated it, too.
Oh, yeah. Because it's like, no, at a certain point, yes, it's just like, why am I even playing the game if you're not going to... If, like, everything of your deck is just preventing me from doing anything. It's like, why am I even bothering? And it's... There no longer was the initiative to dig into a deck and find a cool new idea or combo. If it wasn't the absolute most optimal thing, there was no reason to run it.
Well, they had that one, and I don't want to spend too much longer on this, but there was that one thing for a little while where you could kill somebody in the first turn with a fireball. And I don't remember if you had to cast like a life tap or something like that.
So it was a very specific combination of cards that if you could get those three cards drawn in the first turn, you could kill somebody turn one. It was, you had to have Fireball, you had to have Life Tap, and then you had to have either a card that gave you red mana or something that would let you draw red mana.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, or I think it was like you had
There was a card you could play that you could play for any color of mana.
Mm-hmm.
You could tap it for any color of mana, and then you could cast Life Tap. Or maybe it was Fireball, and then you cast... I don't remember, but I remember it was incredibly
Fireball,
broken.
Fireball had a casting cost of one red mana and X. And X was the amount of mana you spent, was how much damage it did. Then there was a card that, when you played it, gave you three red mana. So that would cover the one red mana for casting Firebolt, or Fireball, the mana to cast Life Tap... I'm getting ahead of myself. And then you would cast Life Tap, which let you sacrifice your own mana or your own life to get colorless mana.
Yeah.
So you would sacrifice 19 of your mana to put into Fireball, which would let it do 20 damage, which was the starting damage of your opponent.
Yeah.
And if you drew those three cards first turn,
you won.
Yeah, because at the time, if your opponent didn't have the ability to act, he couldn't put out a land to even counter. Well, then to prevent that, in one of the expansions, they had blue mana counterspell cards where you could cast them by sacrificing cards in your hand. So that completely changed the dynamic of the game, because now your opponent could counter your first move even if you played first. And yeah.
If your deck was set up to be able to do that.
Right.
Yeah, it sucked.
It was an incredibly rare thing, and it was blown out of proportion more than it ever statistically happened. That was kind of the tail end of it. It's like, okay, I go first. I have the first turn. I can cast my cards. And even then, your opponent could go, no. That was the end. It's like, all right, I'm done. I don't even want to play anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it got to a point like that.
And then so, I traded, and then I used that store credit to buy role-playing books.
Which you probably still have.
Some, yes. Some, yes. But also, no, because a lot of those were my early West End Games Star Wars books. And sometime after I got married, when I was in my first apartment and we needed cash, I eBayed almost my entire Star Wars RPG collection.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a real tough...
Because I know how much of a lover of the West End Star Wars system you are, the West End Game Star Wars system.
I'm slowly collecting it back up, but yeah, it's like I had some books that are just now impossible to find. And even now on the secondary market, cost over $100.
So, keeping somewhat the same vein, you saw the D&D movie, correct?
I did.
And what were your thoughts on it?
So I've talked about, we hit on this a little bit in the live podcast, but it's It was exactly what it needed to be. It was lighthearted enough that it wasn't taking itself too serious, but not too lighthearted to where it was campy. It was reverent enough to the DC universe where it didn't feel like it's like, oh yeah, we're just making a fantasy movie, but we've got to put all the D&D stuff in it.
Said DC universe, by the way.
Oh, DC. So D&D.
D&D universe. I'm like, DC, what is he talking about? Go ahead.
And to the point where they used some very obscure pieces of D&D lore that only the really true hardcore fans would notice, but nobody else would really care. So but it doesn't ruin the movie. It was, you didn't have to know those things to understand the jokes.
I did like the fact that they had the characters from the original D&D cartoon.
That was a cool little nod, to see those guys. Honestly, one of my favorite things of the movie was the portrayal of the paladin. The, 18 charisma this guy has. The fact that he is so lawful good, it hurts.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It was the perfect portrayal of it.
I didn't think it was that great of a movie, but it wasn't bad. And I was glad that they made a movie that was accessible to other people. Like, I actually kind of found myself almost falling asleep in it a couple of times. But that does, I mean, just because I didn't like the movie, I'm glad that it was a good D&D movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had good people in it. It had a decent story. I was bored with it, but it wasn't as bad as the crappy movies we got beforehand.
Yeah. Oh,
so
my God.
It did the game.
It pains me to remember there were more than one of them.
Yeah, I've kind of just forgot that those, I never even saw them. I just was like, this looks horrible. I mean, it was okay. It wasn't great, but just because I didn't like it, I could see where a lot of other people would. So I'm glad that they did what they did, you know, for the gamer geek people out there and stuff.
Right.
It wasn't so gamer geeky that, you know, everybody else wouldn't get it.
Yeah, it's like, if you are a gamer nerd and went to see this movie and your female partner was coming with you just because it had Chris Pine in it, she would probably still enjoy the movie.
Yeah, that was my wife. My wife knows nothing about Dungeons and Dragons or anything like that. And she enjoyed it, which that told me they did the right thing. How they did the movie was the right thing to do, and how they did it and how they portrayed it and how they did it. Because even though I didn't like it, I still wanted it to be a win.
Yeah.
You know, I was tired of, like, these movies suck. Can we have, like, this is one of the greatest fantasy properties that ever exist. From what I understand, there's now talk of them doing a Dragonlance movie.
No. Specifically, so it's a weird thing. Dragonlance is its own intellectual property that Wizards of the Coast does not own.
Okay.
Specifically, Dragonlance is, and the characters of Dragonlance are owned by Margaret Weiss and her partner, whose name I can't remember.
That story has not aged well over the years, I'd like to say. But still,
yeah,
I have fond memories of reading it when I was younger.
Because of that, they are working towards their own project. I believe it's going to be on one of the streaming services, and I believe Joe Manganiello, oh my God, I can never pronounce his last name, Joe Hot Gamer Guy, is executive producing it. It's the same thing with, Wizards of the Coast technically owns the Forgotten Realms.
Mm-hmm.
However, you will notice that even though their movie was set in the Forgotten Realms, the highly named characters that we all associate with Forgotten Realms were never mentioned.
Yeah, I caught that when they were talking about Neverwinter and a few other things.
Exactly. They didn't... I think they may have...
But there's also been talk of a Dritz movie coming, too, though.
Yeah, because D&D, while they may own the... while Hasbro may own the Forgotten Realms, they don't own the characters. R.A. Salvatore owns Dritz. So if you want to make a movie, you have to have the permission of Hasbro, and you have to make the permission of R.A. Salvatore. Elminster and a lot of the other...
That was my next question.
Yeah. Those are owned by Ed Greenwood. Ed Greenwood created the Forgotten Realms.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... Well, I think he got a thank you in the credits. I don't think he was compensated at all for this. Mm-hmm. Because due to the fact that he created the game world under license for D&D, he didn't retain ownership of the game world. He retained ownership of the characters.
Yeah.
That's why when third edition D&D came out, when they did the Forgotten Realms, it was the time shifted forward 100 years. There was a great cataclysm. All the well-known characters were all quietly phased out.
I would see an Elminster movie. I would see a Dritz movie too. I would see either of those. You know,
I
would see a Dragonlance movie.
I have never been a fan of Dritz.
I've never really been either, to be honest with you.
And I think it was because so many people, when I was in, like, my early fantasies, were just, like, all about, like, how awesome Dritz was.
I liked playing Drows, but I never got into the Dritz thing. You know, everybody was like, I need to have the 2 handheld crossbows and the 2 short swords.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I've got friends that don't even play Dungeons & Dragons that have read the Dritz books.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been like, I mean, I read Elminster. I thought that was a decent book, but that was about as far as I took it. Okay, we are now going to try the final and last chip, which is the buffalo chicken chip.
All right, buffalo chicken.
What did you think of the salt and vinegar ones?
It's not bad. I mean, it's the vinegar kind of overpowers.
Yeah.
But that's why you buy, that's why you buy salt and vinegar, because you like the taste of vinegar.
These are the buffalo chicken ones? Which is aptly for a potato chip that is made out of chicken, so. Mm-hmm.
How's the riding going, Foz?
Oh, boy, I didn't know it'd be that tough, Harry. Oh, well, you know, you write a lot of stuff.
No, not really. No, well, I write songs.
Oh, yeah, they're terrific. Hey, how do you get ideas for all those songs?
Well, they don't come easily. You have to get inspired. Mm. And like the song we're going to do next?
Mm-hmm.
I discovered that song in Africa. I was in a country called Guinea, and I went deep into the interior of the country, and in a little village, I met with a storyteller. And that storyteller went way back into African tradition and African mythology. And he began to tell the story about the fire,
uh-huh.
which means the sun, and about the water, and about the earth. And then he pointed out that all of these things put together turn the world around, and that all of us, we're here for a very, very short time. And in that time that we're here, there really isn't any difference in any of us if we were to take time out to understand each other. And the question is, do I know who you are? Do you know who I am? Do we care about each other? Because if we do, together we can turn the world around. We come from the fire, living in fire. Go back to the fire, turn the world around.
We come from the fire, go back to the fire, turn the world around.
We come from the fire, living in the fire.
Go back to the fire, turn the world around.
We come from the water, living in the water. Go back to the water, turn the world around.
We come from the water, living in the water. Go back to the water, turn the world around.
We come from the water, living in the water.
Go back to the water, turn the world around.
We come from the mountain, living on the mountain. Go back to the mountain, turn the world around.
We come from the mountain, living on the mountain. Go back to the mountain, turn the world around.
We come from the mountain, living on the mountain.
Go back to the mountain, turn the world around.
Oh, oh, so is life.
Ah, ha, so is life.
Oh, oh, so is life. life.
Aha, so is life.
Do you know who I am? Do I know who you are? See we one another clearly. Do we know who we are? Do you know who
you
I
know
am?
Who I am? Do
see
we
one another clearly.
Do
we know
you
who
you are?
Do you know who
we
I
one
am?
Do
I know who you
clearly
are? See we one another clearly. Do we know
who we
are?
Oh, so is life. How about you? So is life. Whoa, oh, so is life about you. So is life.
Water make the river, river wash the mountain. Fire make the sunlight turn the world around.
Heart is love, the river, body is the mountain. Spirit is the sunlight, turn the world around.
We are of the spirit,
truly of the spirit. Only can the spirit turn the world around.
We are of the spirit,
truly of the spirit. Only can the spirit turn the world around.
Do you know who I am? I know who you are. See we one another clearly. Do we know who we are?
Do you know who I am?
Who I am?
See we one another clearly.
Do we know who we
are? Do you know who I am?
Who are
you clearly?
See we one another clearly.
Do we know who we are? So is life about you.
So is life. So is life about you. Ah, ha. So is life. Whoa. So is life about you. Ah, ha. So is life. Whoa. So is life about you. Ah, ha. So is life. Whoa. So is life about you. Ah, ha. So is life. Whoa. So is life about you. Ah, ha. So.
Well, it's been such a great show that we can hardly bring ourselves to end it. And we all know who we have to thank for that.
The scriptwriter.
No, the guest star, Fonzie. And so thank you from all of us, Mr. Harry Belafonte.